Get my little moment of transition so everyone had to watch me set up my little table here. So hope I can rally here after all the attention. But let me just say good morning to you. Welcome to Mid-Current Church. I didn't get a chance to say at the beginning, but my name is Sten, and I'm the pastor here, and we are thrilled that all of you are here, and I would just echo things that we have said all along. Whether or not you are here with us or tuning in online, we are just absolutely thrilled that you could be here with us today. If you really are new, you picked a really great Sunday to join us, to be here with us, because we are in the second week of a brand new message series called The Weary World Rejoices. My hunch as we head into the Christmas season here is that many of you are feeling just a little bit weary, right? December is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but I just wonder how many of you here today or how many of you tuning in online are actually feeling a little bit more weary right now than you are feeling wonderful. If that's you, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say you're not alone. And I'd also say that you might be surprised to know that the world 2,000 years ago was also quite a bit weary at the time of the very first Christmas. It wasn't necessarily all that jolly and bright as we like to think of Christmas, right? It had actually been 400 years since God had last spoke to his people. For generations, God spoke to his people through prophets, and he performed some amazing miracles in their life as a people and as a nation. But now, at the time of the very first Christmas, nothing. I mean, there was 400 years of silence. And in reality, it wasn't just silence. I mean, there was also defeat and oppression for this nation of God's people, right? There was bullying from bigger, larger, and more powerful nations that surrounded them, right? And so God's people, they knew they had been promised a hero, and yet that hero never seemed to arrive. Instead, they just had silence. And it had been 400 years. And so that paints just a small picture of the setting and the backdrop of the very first Christmas. And Christian author Philip Yancey, he writes and kind of puts it like this, describing the scene of the very first Christmas. He says that Christmas cards stress sunny words like love, goodwill, cheer, happiness, and warmth. And it's a fine thing, he writes, that we honor a sacred holiday with such homey sentiments. And yet when I turn to the gospel accounts of the first Christmas, I hear a different tone and sense mainly disruption at work. Okay? A different tone, disruption at work, right? Silence and agony maybe. And yet here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, God broke that silence and he made a major announcement that gave the weary world a huge reason to rejoice. And that announcement, I believe, gives you and I a reason to rejoice this year as well. And that's really what this series is all about. So I'm glad that you could be here for just a part of it. I read that quote last week from Philip Yancey, but as I read it over again this week, I was particularly struck with just his last line. I'm particularly struck with his mention of disruption being at work at the time of the very first Christmas. The dictionary defines the word disruption like this: disturbances or problems which interrupt an event or an activity or a process. Okay? Problems that interrupt an event, an activity, or a process. Here's a little bit of a confession for you today from me. I hate being interrupted. As a third-born child, I don't know if this was true for every third-born child, but as a third-born child, this was my experience. I spent my entire childhood feeling like I was constantly being interrupted by my older siblings. In fact, I think at some point in my semi-adult years, I think I finally said something to my family, like, why does everyone always interrupt me? Like, you've done it in my entire life, and I don't like it, right? And I just said this to them, and I can admit that this was probably a little bit of an awkward moment coming from, like, a 25-year-old, at some time ago. But it's how I felt, and I finally said something about it. And that feeling of not liking to be interrupted, it hasn't gone away, to be honest with you. It's just that it's not my older brother and my sister anymore, but it's my three kids, okay? My wife and I will be in a full-out conversation, and the kids would just, like, start talking right over us. Like, as if I'm not there, my kids will just start talking. And Erica knows that this can really get, like, the 10-year-old inside of me, you know, very fired up and very sensitive, which is why you can hear her constantly saying to the kids, to Lucy or to Oli, like, hey, kids, did you hear that Dad was talking? And they're usually like, no, I didn't hear, right? But she's, like, trying to warn them. Okay, Dad does not like this. Okay? And it doesn't end there with the kids. I mean, I could go on here, but one more, right? With me working from home so much more these days, and maybe this is the same with you, my kids have a knack for interrupting me when I am trying to be productive and trying to get some work done. My office at home is behind these two double doors, and so they love to come to the spot where the two doors meet and try to talk to me from the other side. You can see their little eye peeking in through the gap in the doors as they're asking, like, Dad, are you in there, right? And so now these little moments of interruption are a little bit cuter, I will admit, but they are still at times unwelcome interruptions nonetheless, right? I really do not like being interrupted. So here, let me just ask you a question, and if you're watching at home, I need you to play along somehow here with us too, but let me ask you this question. How many of you actually welcome interruptions? But how many of you actually like them, you want them, you look forward to them? And when I ask that, I don't mean like interruptions from exercise or doing laundry, right? Because those are the kind of interruptions I like. Like, oh, okay, well, I've got to, you know, step over here. I mean, like, how many of you actually like interruptions to the plan that you had or to the course that you were on or to the life that you had already kind of laid out for yourself nicely? How many of you actually welcome these kind of interruptions? Okay, I'm not really seeing many hands going up, and I'm just guessing that there aren't too many more hands raising from those of you watching online. We don't like interruptions. Don't like interruptions to the plans we had, to the course we're on, or to the life that we had kind of laid out for ourselves. But what I want to suggest today is that certain interruptions actually in our lives might just be a really good thing. In fact, at the time of the very first Christmas, it was actually God doing the interrupting. And yet when we see what he was up to, I think maybe we just all of a sudden might start to be wishing for a whole lot more interruptions in our own lives. We might even just see that certain interruptions that come our way really would give us a reason to rejoice this Christmas. So what I want to do this morning is show you a little bit about what I mean when I mention that we might be wishing for interruptions a little bit more in our life. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Luke is one of the four books of the New Testament known as the Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so today I want to turn to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Here's what it says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Now, very quickly here, this story in Luke's letter, it directly follows the story that we just read last week about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the news of their child to be named John. And so if you were here with us or tuning in online, you followed along as we read that story. Okay, this story that we just started with today, it is literally the very next verse in this letter that Luke has recorded. But in reality, in real time, it's now 6 months later. It's 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, and the very same angel, Gabriel, visits Elizabeth's relative. It's a young girl named Mary. And Mary, at this time in her life, she actually had quite a bit going on. I mean, she actually had her hands full in these months before the very first Christmas. And so here's what we know to be true. If we keep reading this story, here's what we know to be true about Mary months prior to the very first Christmas. We'll continue reading, and it says this. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. So here's what I want to do very quickly here. I just want to slow down and make sure that we don't miss exactly what's happening. What exactly is going on for Mary in the months before the very first Christmas? I want to try to put ourselves into her world to realize exactly what she had going on, because this tells us that she actually already had her hands quite full. What was she doing? She's planning a wedding. Okay, she's engaged. Now from what I'm told about wedding planning, because I don't have a ton of experience planning a wedding, although I did choose the one song that my brother sang at my wedding. Okay, but I don't have a ton of experience planning weddings. So from what I'm told, from what I understand, planning a wedding is a lot of work. Okay, there's colors, there's dresses, there's flowers, there's decorations and centerpieces and menus and guest lists and seating arrangements. Come on, you know that that's like the hardest part of the whole thing. And in this case, right, Joseph's family is from the line of King David. Okay, dude's like a national hero. He goes down in history as a man after God's own heart. He slayed Goliath. He was a celebrated king in the nation of Israel. So there is royalty in the family line, okay? There has got to be some added in-law pressure for this wedding that Mary is planning, some pressure for everything to go just right. And yet in the middle of it all, an angel shows up and makes an announcement. Here's verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her. This is Mary. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Okay, she's confused because honestly, this is probably one of the only times that anyone had ever used the word favored to describe Mary. Okay, Mary was a young girl, most likely a teenager, from a humble and obscure little farming and agricultural town known as Galilee. And Galilee, just throughout the land, Galilee was not a very well-respected region. Okay, and so this greeting most likely makes very little sense to Mary. Like, are you sure you're talking to me? Are you sure you got the right person? Are you sure you showed up at the right address? She's confused. And the angel Gabriel, I think, must have picked up on her confusion, on her hesitation, because here's how the angel responds. Verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over all of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Here's verse 34. Mary asked the angel, right? She's still confused. She asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin," she says. "How can this happen? How can I give birth to this child?" Okay, not only does this make zero sense to her, because she knows that she is a virgin. She's going, how exactly can I have a child, right? So it makes no sense to her. But this news in her mind, if we go beyond that fact right there even, this news in her mind would have thrown a major, major curveball into the engagement and into the wedding that she was planning. The news of her pregnancy before she was married would have been so scandalous in that day. And honestly, it could very well have, it could have been so disastrous for Mary. Because when we read Joseph's story, which we actually will next week, when we read Joseph's story, we actually find out that Joseph was planning to just secretly call things off with her over this news. He was going to call the wedding off. And not only would this have been extremely devastating for Mary, but it would also have dealt a very devastating blow to her future well-being and to her future security. You see, Bible scholars tell us that in the world of the first century, Mary was what was called, she was a part of a group that was known as the Anawim, or in the English language, it was a group known as the poor ones. Okay, so she would have been classified in this context, you know, as somewhat of a peasant. And she would have likely been a teenager, as I mentioned. And so marriage for her, it very well could have been the difference between life and death, right? If she would remain unwed, she would remain unmarried for her life, she would become extremely vulnerable in the society in which she lived, right? So for someone in her position, from her place in society, marriage provided physical and financial and social safety and security. Okay? And we don't know the exact situation that she was in 100%. We don't really read anything about her parents. They, you know, maybe they were gone or out of the picture. Okay? But either way, it's quite possible that for the first time in Mary's life, based on her place in life, it's quite possible that for the first time in Mary's life, things are looking up for her. Right? There is a light at the end of the tunnel. She's engaged. She's got kind of a ticket out, right? She's going to get married. She all of a sudden had hope for her future. That was plan A that she was right in the middle of. And then the angel shows up and delivers the news. Oh yeah, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Oh, and what's more, he's actually going to be the savior of the world. Okay? Based on the series of events that Mary was anticipating at this time in her life, you might say that this news was a major, major interruption. Okay? Perhaps this was the type of disruption and interruption that writer Philip Yancey is referring to when he reads the stories of the very first Christmas and senses mainly disruption at work. Okay, ask any bride-to-be, and I think you will learn that weddings and wedding planning and interruptions, they do not mix, right? Disruption and interruption are not welcome at any point in the wedding planning process. I have to imagine that's how Mary felt. But this interruption was unlike any she could have ever encountered or ever predicted or ever seen coming. There was something actually quite unique about this kind of interruption that she was experiencing, okay? It was divinely inspired, okay? Look at the angel's response to Mary's question about how in the world this could happen. Here's verse 35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, Mary, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Okay? Essentially, Gabriel's message to Mary is this. Mary, I know you're freaking out here, but the Holy Spirit is at work. Okay? This is God's doing. He is finally setting into motion his great rescue mission for the world. And get this, Mary, he chose you to be at the center of it all. He has found favor with you, Mary, from humble little Galilee. And in his goodness, he has chosen you and he has selected you to be right at the center of it all. Okay? The angel's visit to Mary, it wasn't just an announcement to her. It was an invitation, okay? It was an invitation for Mary to step into the plan, to accept the plan, to accept the assignment that God had chosen her, to say yes to the invitation that God had laid out before her. Midcurrent, here's what I want you to take away from this as we look at this. Here's what I want you to know. Oftentimes, interruptions are invitations to be used by God. Okay? Oftentimes, it's interruptions in our life that are actually invitations from God to be used by God. Okay? And this week, I couldn't help but think about all of the potential interruptions that you and I encounter daily, that you and I have already encountered recently. Okay, let's just get the big obvious one out of the way here. Okay, with COVID-19, it has been one big giant interruption. It's interrupted work, it's interrupted church, it's interrupted school, it's interrupted friendship and business and health and so on. Okay, a big giant interruption, but unfortunately, right, the interruptions don't necessarily stop there. I can't help but think of all the people who will be spending Christmas alone, or maybe spending Christmas without that important person, maybe for the first time, okay? People whose lives were interrupted when their spouse or their parents or their grandparents or their child had been taken away from them unexpectedly. Plan A was to live a long, happy life together, to have them play with their grandchildren or to see them go off to college, but then the diagnosis interrupted, or the disaster interrupted, or the divorce interrupted, or some other intruder interrupted and came in and stole that dream away. I started thinking about all those who will gather with family this Christmas, especially those that they don't get along with, or that they don't agree with very well about anything these days. I mean, talk about an interruption to a family, right? Families who don't speak to each other other than, you know, when they have to at a major holiday or some other moment when it feels like they're just supposed to, right? Maybe family members have done some things or said some things or posted some things online that have really wounded at a soul level, right? And the plan A family that you had hoped for is seeming to be no longer an option. I mean, I can't think about all those who have lost their jobs or lost their home or who are barely hanging on, right? The Grinch of unemployment or just the bills that stack up, or maybe it's the debt that's piling up. It's interrupted and it's stolen any hope of a plan A kind of Christmas for you this year. Can't help but think about the parents whose lives have been disrupted and interrupted by a kid who is struggling or who has lost their way, making life not only for themselves but for everybody who loves them so painful and so difficult. Can't help but think about those who have been wanting and wishing to be married and are waiting for the right person to come into their life, but that dream has been interrupted by what seems like long, long seasons of unshakable singleness. And Christmas, maybe this year, is just an incredibly difficult reminder of that reality. I mean, I can't help but think of anyone and everyone who, like Mary, may have experienced unwanted and unexpected and unwelcomed interruptions into their lives, and now plan A is nowhere in sight. I have to imagine that there have been interruptions in your life in the last month or in the last few months or in the last year that have meant that your plan A is no longer in sight either. And if that's you, here's what I want you to know today as we look deeper into this story of Mary's. Here's what I want you to know today, that Christmas, if we really think about what's happening here, Christmas is the announcement that God has a plan for you, that God has an in for you to accept. It's just that oftentimes those invitations are found in the interruptions of our everyday life. So let me just ask you then a question right now. If it is true that oftentimes interruptions are invitations to be used by God, if that's really true, then let me ask you this question today. Are you interruptible? Right now in your life, regardless of what's happening or regardless of kind of what plan A is for you, right now, are you interruptible? Are you open to the ways that God might use interruptions to your plans to lead you to His ultimate plan for you? Are you interruptible? Right? This week and this Christmas, I want to challenge you to begin every day by asking yourself a few questions. And those questions are many. You could ask any and all sorts of different questions, but maybe some of those questions sound like one of the following. Maybe you begin your day every morning for the next few weeks asking, praying, God, is there something you want me to say today? Is there someone that you want me to notice today? Is there an act of kindness that you want me to offer to someone in my life today? Is there a word of encouragement that you want me to speak? God, is there a hurt in my life or someone else's that I need to heal? Is there something broken that I need to repair? Is there some kind of sin in my life that I need to confess? God, is there a wrong in my life that you are asking me today to make right? Is there some kind of gift that I can give? Is there something that you want me to do? God, are you trying to get my attention right now? I begin each day by praying and by telling God, I am open to your interruptions today, God, because I believe that your interruptions are invitations for me. So please, God, interrupt. Interrupt me. Now, I don't honestly know exactly how Mary began her morning. I don't know what prayer she prayed as she rolled out of bed on the day that the angel visited her, but her response to this interruption at this time in her life is pretty remarkable. Here's how it is that Mary responds in verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Okay, friends, here's a little spoiler alert for anybody who maybe doesn't know how this Christmas story ends. Okay, here's a spoiler alert. Everything the angel said came true. Okay, a child was born of the Holy Spirit, a son was given, he was the Savior of the world, he was a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a true Prince of Peace. And Mary, who found favor with God and who was faithful to the God in the middle of a major, major interruption in her life. Mary, from a humble little town of Galilee, Mary was God's leading lady throughout the whole thing. A son was given. The Messiah was sent to rescue the world. And Mary was at the center of it all. Folks, I'm going to say it again. Interruptions, so many times in your life and in mine, interruptions are invitations from God to be used by God to bring redemption to a tired and a weary world. Mary's response to her invitation was actually to break out in song, to break out in praise, which the rest of Luke 1 records if we kept reading. It's known as Mary's song, okay? She welcomed the interruptions, and she accepted her invitation, and her response to it all was to rejoice at the part that God asked her to play in his great plan in the world. I'm praying that you too might be open to the interruptions in your own life, because I truly believe that they very well could be God's invitation to you this Christmas. And I believe that they too might just give you reason to rejoice. Let me pray for us today. And as I do, let me just say that for some of you here today, for some of you watching online, maybe for some who are in your life, who you want to hear this message, here's what I really believe to be true, that for some of you today, the invitation to you this Christmas might simply be the invitation to open your heart to Jesus for the very first time, to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, right? To the one who traveled from heaven all the way to earth just to be in a relationship with you, okay? If that's you, if that's the invitation that you need to say yes to today, that you need to accept maybe for the first time today, I want to begin praying for you in a moment that truly would be an invitation that you accept today. So let's all pray together. God, we give you thanks for today. And we give you thanks for these stories, God, that have been recorded for us about the very first Christmas so long ago. God, and I'm grateful that these stories that are recorded, they're not airbrushed, that they're not, you know, made to look perfect, that everything was right and everything was good and this whole deal was, you know, just so jolly and bright. God, I'm grateful that in the stories that are recorded for us of the very first Christmas. We get a dose of what the real world was like. People were tired. People were living their everyday lives, already worn out from feeling like, you know, they had just been abandoned, or God, that you had been silent. And so I'm just grateful, God, that we get to see what it really was like in those days before the very first Christmas. And I'm glad, God, that we get to see the ways that you were at work, even in the midst of what felt like silence, God. I'm so glad we get to see the ways that you broke the silence, and for the ways that you were at work in a world that had become incredibly tired and weary. God, I have to imagine that so many of us in one area of our life or another have been interrupted by something at some time. Maybe it was last week, maybe it was last month, maybe it was last year, I don't know, God, but I have to imagine we have all experienced interruptions that have thrown us off our game, that have, you know, sent us way off the tracks, God. And I just pray that in the midst of interruptions, God, we might pause for a moment to ask ourselves or to look around or to be open to the ways that maybe you're making an invitation to us, to something more, to something greater, to something bigger, God, to a plan that was far better than the one we had for ourselves. God, and I pray that we would be open to the plan that you have for us and to invitation that you make in the midst of our lives. God, if there's someone here today who has never said yes or has never accepted the invitation from you, right, to be in a relationship with you, God, I pray that today they might do that. That in their own hearts, God, they would say yes to you. They would open their heart and they would accept the invitation that you make to them to be in a relationship forever, God. Pray that they would know this Christmas, God, that you sent your Son from heaven to earth for them and for us. And so, God, we give you thanks for that good gift, the gift of heaven coming to earth. And we pray, God, that we might be open to your invitation to us, however it looks, in whatever form, in whatever fashion, God. Pray that we might be open to the invitations that you make oftentimes in the very interruptions in our everyday life. And God, we pray too that as we accept those invitations, we might find reason to rejoice and to give thanks to you, God, and to follow after you harder into the plans that you have for us and for this world. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Hey, we are so glad that you could be a part of what we really believe that God is doing here at MidCurrent. We're so excited that you could be here with us today. Ladies, don't forget to stop in at the IF table tonight. It is a really incredible community of women that are growing in faith and growing in relationship with one another. So stop back here tonight. Have a great week, and we are looking forward to seeing you right back here next week for the third week in our series, The Weary World Rejoices. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you soon. God bless you.